Here in Proverbs chapter 16, God gives us a beautiful promise about our thoughts. Now, that's something that we often struggle with, as we will see when we look in the scriptures. But it's not the solution that we would normally expect, as you will see. So beginning in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 16, it says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Amen. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's our title today. Thy thoughts shall be established. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom, give us your presence and power, and apply it to each of our hearts as we contemplate this beautiful passage in your word today. May you be honored and glorified. May we leave changed. So, Lord, we trust in the power of your word, and the Holy Spirit, and we give you thanksgiving for this opportunity to assemble around your word. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So our hearts is our problem, isn't it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Our hearts, look down in verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. This passage is all about committing our plans and our works to the Lord before we do them. It's not, "Lord, I'm going to do this, now bless it," which is how we normally approach things. This is, "Lord, what should I do? And then I know you will bless it." But that's not usually our approach. And that, as it says here, the preparations of the heart in man. Our hearts devise ideas, and often they are the wrong ideas. And that's why we need to trust God, even for the preparations of our hearts. Notice, if you would, Proverbs 28:26. Very important truth here in Proverbs 28:26. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Now, how often do we trust our heart, our feelings, our emotions? It felt right. I just knew it was the right thing to do. I was comfortable with it. We hear these phrases all the time. All those things, that's fine, but that doesn't mean it's from God. And that's why God starts this passage off by saying the preparations of the heart. Our heart needs help from God every single day because it's going to lead us astray if we trust it, as we see here. We can't trust our own heart. And so it starts with committing, as we'll see when we get to verse 3. We've got to commit every day all of our plans, all of our goals to the Lord. We cannot say, "My heart's telling me this, that's what I'm going to do. Now, Lord, please bless it." That's backwards for Christians, as we will see. So it's not only the heart that can lead us astray, but, of course, verse 1 of Proverbs 16, the tongue. Those are the two things that lead us into trouble, aren't they? Our heart and our tongue. Notice it says, "And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." David understood this. If you look at Psalm 141 and verse 3, David prayed that God would help him with his tongue. We all need to pray that. Because if we're going to get ourselves into trouble, especially with our brothers and sisters, it's usually going to be our tongue that does it. And what God is saying here is, if you will let me, if you will commit to me your life, which includes your heart and your tongue, then I will help you to do the right thing. But we often set out and do what our heart and our tongue want to do, and then we ask God to bless it. It doesn't work that way. Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." David understood, didn't he? "Lord, protect me from saying the wrong thing. Protect me, as far as the heart, from doing the wrong thing." Not complicated, just a difficult thing to implement sometimes because of our fallen nature. James says in chapter 3, verse 2, if in many things we offend all, if the man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Think about that. If we can control our tongue and we can control what we do and not base it on what our heart tells us to do, God says we're on the right path. But here's the problem. Verse 2 of chapter 16 in Proverbs, look what he says. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That is our problem. Self-deception. All of us have this weakness where we think we're better than we are. That's the honest truth. We are all guilty of this, are we not? How do I know this? God says so, right there. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Well, I know I did the right thing. Well, did you? Was it per the scriptures with the right thing? But we all have this weakness. It's a big problem when people come for marital counseling. This hesitancy to admit that we're wrong, that we made a mistake, that we sinned. And that's usually where it starts with helping people with any counseling, is taking accountability for our sin, admitting that we're wrong, admitting we did the wrong thing. Until we're willing to do that, we can't make progress. God says, typically, we think we're doing the right thing, that we're things that we do, it's clean in our own eyes. Look at Proverbs 16:25. Just down a little bit in the chapter, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right, it feels right, it looks right, and it's probably wrong. That's what God is telling us. To stop trusting our own heart, stop trusting our own tongue, and start committing those things unto the Lord. And stop believing that we're always doing the right thing. That we're clean in our own eyes, because we aren't. As it says there in verse 2 of Proverbs 16, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In other words, God knows the truth. We might be clean in our own eyes, but God knows. God knows our hearts. God knows our thoughts. God knows us. Look down at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Anybody ever heard that one before? Now the world's always misquoting it, and they always say pride goes before a fall. But this is the verse they're quoting. But look what goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit. Haughty, meaning prideful, meaning I know what's right. I know the right thing. And haughty spirit. Verse 32, same chapter. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Our spirit is typically not ruled. It's not under control. It's usually out of control. And that all leads us to verse 3, which is our core verse today. But I just want us to understand before we get to verse 3 what God is telling us. Our heart can't be trusted. Our tongue can't be trusted. And our own plans can't be trusted. That's what it says. That most of our ways are clean in our own eyes, but we're wrong. God weighs the spirits. The preparations of a hardened man needs to come from God. And the tongue, we need a watch put there. We need help with God, from God with our tongue. So knowing those things are true, that we can't trust our heart, we can't trust our tongue, we can't trust our own plans and our own ideas and thoughts, God says, verse 3, commit. That is the key in this passage. Commit thy works unto the Lord. It all starts with the committing. Amen? Look at Proverbs 3:6, if you would. This is how we align our plans with God's plans. You know, in Ephesians 5, God says we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. That's a command, by the way, in Ephesians 5:17, to understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, I want to know what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. That's the committing part. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Most of us know that verse, but what does it say? First, we have to acknowledge him in our ways. We have to commit it to the Lord. Look at Psalms 37, verse 5, if you would. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So this comes down to committing. Can't trust our heart. Definitely can't trust our tongue. We can't even trust our own plans. That's what God is telling us. He says, but if you will commit your plans, your works, unto me. In other words, if you'll seek what I want, then I'll help you. Then I will help you establish your thoughts, which is our thoughts that lead us into trouble, aren't they? Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. Right? But everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible says, commit thy works, here in Proverbs 16, 3, unto the Lord. So it's not saying, do the works and then commit them to me. It's not what it says, is it? No, we have to first commit them to him. We have to make sure that they are his works, his plans. That has to come first. We want to do it the other way around. Lord, these are my goals. These are my plans. I'm going to do all this today. Please bless it. No, God says, first you commit it to me. First you commit your works unto me. You make sure it's what I want. Look at Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We all want God to direct our steps, but are we asking him to? Proverbs 20:24, turn over there quickly. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? That's a rhetorical question. We can't. In Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh the direct steps. In other words, we don't know. We can't trust what our heart says. We can't trust what our tongue wants to say. And we definitely can't trust our own plans and goals. We need to commit. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And then God, in these sorts of things, always attaches a beautiful promise. And what is that promise? Thy thoughts shall be established. Now, we all want our thoughts established, and we all fight battles with our thought life, don't we? That's just a fact of life. The Bible says so. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul's saying to the Corinthians, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. Just one chapter before. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every, what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. God says, if you want help with your thoughts, first you have to commit. First you need to commit your plans to me. First you need to commit your tongue to me. First you need to commit your heart to me. Every day, every plan, if you'll commit it to me, then I promise you that I will establish your thoughts. Peter told us in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. How do we do that? By committing. And thy thoughts, he says, shall be established. We all want our works and our thoughts established, but we have to be willing to commit first. We can't commit after. We got to commit first. And thy thoughts shall be established. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. This is what God ultimately wants, is that we be established. In other words, grounded, settled, that our thoughts will be established, Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Established in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, turn over there quickly if you would. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So this is an absolutely beautiful promise. Thy thoughts shall be established. That's our title today. But we have to do the committing. God isn't going to force us to. He gave us a free will. We have to be willing that we can't trust our hearts. We can't trust our tongue. We can't trust our own plans because we don't know the right way to go. But if we will give those things to God, stop thinking that our ways are clean in our own eyes and admit that they aren't. And if we'll commit our works, commit our plans, commit everything, Lord, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do today. Plead ignorance is one of the most powerful things for Christians. When we admit to God we don't know. God loves that. Because what we're saying is we need his help. And we do. If we will commit our works unto the Lord, what does he promise? Thy thoughts shall be established. What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful promise. Very difficult to put into practice sometimes. Because our heart is deceitful above all things. Because our heart, our tongue, as James says in chapter 3, is set on the fire of hell. So we've got quite a battle going on, don't we? We've got this heart that's deceitful above all things. We've got this tongue that's set on the fire of hell. And yet we want our thoughts established. How do we do that? We've got to commit. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And that is a huge challenge, but will result in a huge blessing if we'll put it into practice. As it says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, amen, by prayer and supplication, everything. Give it all to God. God has big shoulders. He can handle it. But he doesn't force it. We have to do the committing, and then he'll do the establishing. Amen? God is so good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and this wonderful truth and the promise that you've given us here, Lord. And I pray that we would learn, Lord, to admit our heart needs your help. Our tongue needs your help. Lord, our thoughts need your help. And we would learn to commit our works unto thee every day, every work, every plan. We'd learn to commit it to you, Lord. And we know that you always keep your promises and you'll establish our thoughts. Thank you for promising us this beautiful truth. Lord, I pray. If there's someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize they need Jesus. If they want to go to heaven, they need to come to Christ as their Savior and get rescued from their sin. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we learn to commit.